This is the greeting that we have been taught by the Imma alayhim as-salam, that when we greet one another on a tragic day such as this, that we should say to one another, may Allah magnify our reward and your reward for our grieving of Hussein alayhi salam. And may he make us and you from among those who continue his mission under his representative, Al-Imam al-Mahdi, from the family of Muhammad, peace be upon them. Before I begin the speech, I want to apologize for making a small mistake in the last one. As we know, the one who was the killer of Ali Asghar is known as Hurmala or Harmala, and Shimr ibn Dhul Joshan was the one who cut off the head of the Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And so we should be clear on who was whom. May Allah's curse be upon them both. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين صلى الله عليك يا ابن فاطمة الزهراء صلى الله عليك وعلى أخيك الحسن وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليكم مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار فيا ليتنا كنا معكم فنفوز معكم فوزا عظيما صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد May the peace and salutations be upon our master, our Imam, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. We have gathered here tonight to commemorate what is perhaps and is most definitely the saddest night for the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And what I'd like to do is very simply narrate to you some of the history that has been given to us in the books about what took place on this night in the English language, so that those of you who may not be familiar with the other tongues may at least be acquainted with the history. Before doing that, I just want to mention one simple point. I don't want to be too analytical tonight, because this is a night of emotion. It is a night of remembrance. It is a night of feeling sad and of feelings. But just one analytical point, one analysis, so that we can keep it in mind when we remember the history, is that we, as the Shia of Hussein, so first of all, we say that we're the Shia of Hussein, meaning that we are his followers. You know, we say that we're Shia of Ali also, but being Shia of Ali and being Shia of Hussein, there's no difference. It means that we, not only do we make this claim, but we have something about us, something about our character, something about our personality, that we deserve to have this title of being Shia of Hussein. And if we understand that Imam Hussein alayhi salam sacrificed everything that he did, his children, his brothers, his nephews, his cousins, the sanctity of his family, if he did all that, was it just so that we can remember the history and then go home and then spend another year and then come back and remember and again shed our tears? No, logic does not allow that to be the case. Instead, there must be some change that takes place in us, some sort of transformation that takes place in us, because Imam Hussein alayhi salam sacrifice what he did so that the truth may become distinct from error. قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ, that the truth can be distinct from the error. And we see clearly in the actions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and his companions the truth. And we see clearly in the actions of their enemies the error. You see, Imam Khomeini rahmatullahi alayhi has laid out three characteristics, three things that we must be concerned about if we want to have spiritual health. We've been talking about spiritual progression. We've been talking about coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said three things you have to be concerned about when it comes to your spiritual health. He says, number one, you should be concerned about your knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what have we learned about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Imam Hussein alayhi salam? This is the Imam who on the day of Ashura, instead of complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying, oh Allah, this is very painful. Oh Allah, I'm very thirsty. Oh Allah, my family are being killed. What does the Imam alayhi salam say? He says, Allahumma anta thiqati fi kulli karbin wa raja'i fi kulli shidda. Oh Allah, you are the one I depend upon when any sort of trouble comes to me. Oh Allah, you are my hope. You are my only hope in every sort of fierce circumstance. We learned that we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to all of our needs. We learned that we should come to a better understanding of what At-Tawheed is all about. That's one thing. He says that you should have knowledge of God. He says, number two, that you should be concerned about your practices. You should have good a'mal. You should have good deeds. And by this, you know, we say in ziyarah that ashhadu annaka qad aqamta as-salah. We said to the imam that we bear witness that you have established the salah. Wa ataita zakat. We're not just saying that the imam did prayers, that the imam gives zakat. He's the imam. Obviously, he did that. We're saying that he absolutely stood for the message of prayer. He absolutely believed in the message of the prayer, and he did not let it go for even an instance. And so where are we, my brothers and sisters, if we do not say our prayers? Where are we if when we say our prayers, we spend only the matter of a second on the sajda, that we do not talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we not try to come closer to him when we pray? Where are we, my brothers and sisters, when it comes to the other practices, such as hijab, where we as men, perhaps, we do not practice our hijab when we talk to the women in the society outside of us, or when our women also, perhaps, they do not observe the proper hijab yet? Where are we? This is the second thing that Imam Khomeini says. And the third thing that he says is that you should have good ethics. You should have good character. You should have good morals. And we see so many examples of this in the story of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and what he stood for. We see Imam Hussein alayhi salam so many times showing that he will not stand for injustice. We show his love for his family. We show his love for his son. When he wants to send Ali Akbar into the battle, look at how hard it is for him to send his son into battle. Look at how much he weeps over him and he says, oh, this dunya, this life has no meaning for me after this. This is the attachment he has to his son. This is the relationship between the father and the son. But look at the relationship between the son and the father. That he was the first one to stand up and say, oh, Hussein, I am there. I am there. I will fight with you. Or look at Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, who's so sick that he has such a high fever that he is fainting. But he too, when he hears that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is about to fall, that he also makes an effort to go outside and say, oh, Imam, I am here to assist you. This is the role of the son to the father. Look at the ethics when it comes to water, when it comes to israf, that the water is such a precious thing, that they're so safeguarding it to such a safe extent. And look at us when it comes to everything that we have and how much we can appreciate these things, how much regard we give to the gift and the bounties we have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if we are lacking in any of these aspects, if we are lacking in our knowledge of Allah, if we are lacking in our practices, or if we are lacking in our ethics, then we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam be planted in our heart, that we may strengthen our faith, and that we may also follow, we may respond to his call, and that we can reform ourselves, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Muhammad. Muhammad wa I take you now to the night after the day of Ashura, when, as you can imagine, it was perhaps dark like this, because there was no lights at that time, so it was indeed dark like this. And the family of the Prophet, where were they? You see, the tents had been burned, so they were sitting out in the open in a dark night like this, and what must have been going through their mind? Perhaps they were reflecting upon some of the events that had taken place during the daytime. You see, now there was a time when the companions had all been martyred, and then one by one the family members went for battle and they also became martyred. And then it was only Imam Hussein alayhi salam who was left on the battlefield. And Bibi Zainab alayhi salam could hear him crying out, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no power and there is no might except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was fighting such a fierce fight, such a fierce battle, that they say this is reminding people of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. You see, this was the bravery, that no one could take him on in single combat. And finally, they had to gather around him, a group of cowards. They had to gather around him in a circle, and they started throwing things at him. They started abusing him. They started throwing spears and stones and whatnot. And finally, he fell to his knees. Now, Bibi Zainab alayhi salam, seeing that perhaps the end is near, what does she do? She goes out and she's crying. History tells us that she cries, Wa Muhammad, Wa Abata, Wa Aliya, Wa Ja'fara, Wa Hamzata. Where is Muhammad? Where is my father? Where is Ali? Where is Ja'far? Where is Hamza? هَذَا حُسَيْنٌ بِالْأَرَائِي صَرِيعٌ بِكَرْبَلَا. This is Hussein, who is in the open land of Karbala. There's nothing around us. صَرِيعٌ بِكَرْبَلَا. He will be killed in Karbala. And then Zainab alayhi salam, she looks to the army of Umar ibn Sa'd and she says, وَيْحَكُمْ أَمَا فِيكُمْ مُسْلِمٌ. Is there not a Muslim among you? Let alone a mu'min. Is there not one Muslim among you? But no one comes to her rescue. Not one person. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, finally, he's surrounded. And history tells us that Shimr ibn Joshan tells someone, cut off his head. But that man is too much of a coward to do it. And so Shimr hits him 12 times. He hits the holy body 12 times. And finally, he cuts off the head of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The head of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is cut. And now, what is going to happen? Will the army of Yazid stop at this? Have they committed enough crimes? Has their heinousity come to an end? Can they be more evil than this? And yes, now we see their greeds coming to light. Now we see their passions coming to light. Now we see their love of the world coming to light. You see, Imam Hussein alayhi salam had done a very smart thing with his battle strategy. He had put the utmost care in protecting his women and children by placing a fire, a moat and a fire around the tents, so that no one can come from behind. If they wanted to come to the ladies, if they wanted to plunder the tents, they would have to come from the front. But now, my brothers and sisters, even that defense is gone. There's no Hussein to stop them from coming. There's no Abbas to stop them from coming. There's none of the companions. There's no Habib ibn al-Dahir. There's no Muslim ibn Usajja. They're all gone. So now the army of Yazid starts advancing. They start advancing towards the tents. And they start crying out. History tells us that they tell people, أحرقوا بيوت الظالمين. What is the look at the what is the logic in this? They are saying, burn the tents of the ظالمين, burn the tents of those who are the oppressors. Who are the oppressors here? Is it the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam? These are just women and children. You see the way they twist things. You see, this is the same thing happening in Palestine these days, that they blame the innocent people. They say that it's your fault for what you're doing, and then they take away their houses. The same thing is happening in Karbala, that they burn the tents of them. They're burning the tents, and the women and children are forced to leave the tents. And now they come and they start looting. They start taking away things. They're looking for things which may be valuable. And what are these things? These are the things which the ladies, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, are wearing. And history tells us, my brothers and sisters, that they come inside the tents, and they take away the scarves of the ladies. They take away the scarf. They take away the dignity of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. They take away the earrings. They tell us that, history tells us, they take away the earrings so much that they pull the earrings and the daughter of the Imam Hussein alayhi as-salam faints. There is one story that we have from Fatima, who is the daughter of Hussein alayhi as-salam, when she says that one time, during this time of looting, one man approached me and there was tears in his eyes, and he's about to take the bracelet I have on my ankle and he's crying. So I ask him, why are you crying? He says, how can I not be crying when I'm stealing, when I'm looting from the daughter of the Prophet? And she says, if you're crying, then leave me alone. Leave me to be. And he says, no, I do not leave you to be, because I know that if I do not steal it from you, then someone else will steal it. You see, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. He says that in their hearts is a sickness, and Allah has increased that sickness for them because they are blind. And we see in this case right here, that this man here is he's succumbed to his desires. He has dug himself a trench in hell. Now, this is the looting. Now, we have one story that there was one woman from the army. There was one woman who was there, whose husband was participating in the army of Umar ibn Sa'd. And she saw what was happening to the family of the Prophet. She saw what was happening, and she ran towards the tents. And she took up a sword. This is a woman who was standing there. She takes up a sword, and she stands in front of the whole army of Umar ibn Sa'd. Because there was no man who was man enough to do it. She was the only one who could do it. And she said, she cried out to her tribe, she said, come help me. This is for the descendants, the female descendants of the Prophet. These are the female descendants of the Prophet. Will you come and help me defend them against the army? But then what happens is her husband just comes and takes her away. You see, there was no man who was strong enough to stand at that time. Now, history also tells us that at that time, Umar ibn Sa'd, the coward that he was, he had commands from Ubaydah ibn Ziyad in particular. Ubaydah ibn Ziyad had told him that when it comes to the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, don't just make it be a normal death. Make it be a death that will be remembered. Make it be a treatment of the body that will be remembered as the most heinous crime throughout the history of humankind. So Umar ibn Sa'd looks to his army and he says, that who among you will volunteer? Give me 10 volunteers who will volunteer to take his horse and trample on the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And so these 10 men volunteer and they take their sword, they take their horses and they trample upon the holy body of the Imam. So much that says that nowhere in history has anyone's body been trampled like that, so his chest and his back were trampled to that extent. This was after that not only were they satisfied looting the tents of Bibi Zainab alayhi salam and the other ladies, but they also wanted to loot the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. One person comes and takes his turban, the other one takes his shirt. Umar ibn Sa'd takes his armor. They're taking away from him. So much so that he's left, it says only at the end, he only has a few pieces of tattered clothing around him. One man looks at his ring, he says, okay, maybe that's something valuable. Perhaps I can gain some money from selling this in the marketplace. He tries to take the ring from the holy finger of the Imam alayhi salam. It does not come off because there's so much blood. There's so much blood, the ring is stuck on his finger. So what does he do? He comes and cuts off the finger of the Imam alayhi salam. They're not only happy with that, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad commands them that you should go and kill every single descendant. Do not let there be a single son of the Imam alayhi salam be alive after this point. Because they know that from this progeny, will be the one who will take out corruption, he will remove corruption from this world, and he will establish the kingdom of justice. So they're looking and seeing, is there anyone left? Is there any son left among the Imams? And they see that in the tent of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, that he's lying there, a very sick man, he's lying there. And Abu Sa'd gives the command that you should kill him too. This is the command of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. And they're about to kill the Imam alayhi salam. They're about to extinguish the last light that we have in the whole, the last light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent for people. And then what happens is Zainab alayhi salam comes. And she throws herself on the body of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, and she says, look at the bravery of the woman. She says that if you want to kill him, then you kill me also. If you want to kill me, then you kill me also. Another man who's standing there says that, how can you do this to him? This is the son of Rasulullah. He's a sick man. This is against our customs. And so Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam is spared. Now, history narrates that the heads were taken on the spears. And you see, not only were they happy with the head of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, but they wanted to cut the heads of every single one of the companions. And they took them and they distributed them among all the tribes so that they would not be able to say that this tribe was responsible for killing, or this tribe was responsible for killing, or this one was responsible for killing. That all of them wanted to be equally responsible for the killing of Imam Hussein al-Islam. Why? Because they're guilty, because they're cowards. So they distribute the heads of Imam Hussein al-Islam. And you can imagine when the head is on top of the spear. My brothers and sisters, imagine if your own father's head is on the spear. Imagine if your own brother's head is on the spear. Imagine if your own son's head is on the spear. And look at what we learned a couple of nights ago, that the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they should be more beloved to us than our own fathers, our own brothers and our own sisters. And you can imagine the pain that we would have if we saw the Imam's alayhim as-salam head on the spear. And we go to the next day then, because Umar ibn Sa'd ordered the army that the next day they would leave. And what happened is that when they passed by, the women of the they bound the women and they put them on the camels, and and the women request that before they leave, they should be given the opportunity to please to at least see the martyrs. Perhaps they could pay them their last respects. Perhaps they could say their final salam. And imagine the sight that they must have seen at that time. Because you see, before, the last time they had seen their beloved ones, they were standing in front of them as a human being, and now they had their heads cut off. Now they had their heads cut off. Do you think maybe perhaps they couldn't even distinguish between whom was who? They wouldn't even know who was who. And at that time, we have that Zainab alayhi salam says something. She says something that she says something that makes the people cry. And doesn't make just the people, the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam cry, but even the enemy starts crying. And even the horses start crying so much that their tears come down to their hooves. This is what the authentic history says. And she says that she said, this is Hussein who has been killed in Karbala. And she says that, oh Allah, ilahi taqabbal hadi. She says that, oh Allah, accept this sacrifice from us. Oh Allah, accept this sacrifice from us. So now I take you back to the time when they decided that they would trample the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And I'm giving you one perspective that one of the contemporary lecturers by the name of Dr. Murtala Ali Dina has made about this particular act of the enemies of Islam. You see, when they trampled the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they felt like they wanted to humiliate it to the utmost extent. They wanted to pound it to the ground. They wanted to crush the very bones under the feet of their horses. But when doing so, they are nothing but cowards. They are doing nothing but showing their cowardice. Because when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was alive, they could not attack his soul. They could not attack his spirit. They could not tempt him even in a little bit of way. They could not make him bend to their will. But when he's died, they think they can attack him by attacking his body. Are they doing anything? Are they accomplishing anything at that point? They have missed the whole purpose. They have missed the whole message why Imam Hussein alayhi salam was alive. When he's died, he's not dead. His message has not been cut off from us. It is still alive and it is still well. And that same message, my brothers and sisters, is that we should uphold justice. And we wait, and we, in this type of time, you see, that the angels, when they saw what had taken place in Karbala, the angels, they also were very distraught at that time. And they said that what has happened? They went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala complaining that this has happened to the son of your prophet. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do to console them? What did he do to comfort them? He showed them the image of Al-Qa'im. He showed them the image of the 12th Imam alayhi salam. He said, this is the one who will take revenge for what took place in Karbala. This is the one. And so my brothers and sisters, we end by calling upon the Imam alayhi salam, the 12th Imam. We first of all send our condolences to him. And we call upon him the way that he has taught us in Dua Nudba. And we say, أين الطالب بدم المقتول بكربلاء. Where is the one who will take revenge for the blood of the one who was killed in Karbala? ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.